This is Gloria Moraga's One-on-One, a show designed to improve face-to-face communication in the digital age.
Alan Miller is a journalism success story. He worked for more than 22 years as a newspaper editorial board writer. He was an opinion writer, creating prose for an editor that he eventually began to disagree with. He did it for 2 decades, and then he couldn't do it anymore. He'd raised his family, so he quit that job and moved to Sacramento. Our paths crossed when we both worked in PR at the university. He is outspoken, brash, and a movie fanatic. That's something we have in common. His outspokenness was always getting him into trouble. We have that in common as well. Since this podcast is about communications in 2019 and improving our communication skills, I thought it was a good idea to have Alan join me on One-on-One. Who better to offer communication survival tips? Whatever you want to say about Alan Miller, he is a survivor, and he can teach us all about survival in the workplace and about communications, back when and now. We talked about staying in a job too long, about not speaking up when decisions are being made that are wrong. He says he always tries to speak up because you don't want management or your bosses to steal your soul. I sat down with Alan Miller outside a small Mexican restaurant in East Sacramento for our One-on-One. We began his story talking about J-School, since journalism runs through my life.
I am currently teaching journalism class at ERC, and I delight in telling my students, I'm teaching journalism. I never had a journalism class in my life. I was hired by a major newspaper in Detroit by an editor who said, I don't care whether or not you went to J school. He said, I like the way you write. You're older, you're mature, and you write so well. So I worked in Detroit from 82 to 84, and then I got recruited to come to San Diego to work at a major daily down there. I worked there for 20 years and won some awards, but after 20 years, I decided I don't want to work here anymore because I left Detroit, which was a conservative Republican paper, but they had some integrity. There were certain Republicans, for example, they wouldn't endorse. I was an opinion writer, I wasn't a reporter. I went to San Diego, and that was largely a whorehouse. We never met a Republican. We didn't kiss their Fanny. And I, after 20 years, I said, I don't want to work here anymore. I left Detroit as a moderate Republican, and I left San Diego as a Marxist because I was so disgusted with the way they handled things. And I'll never forget, I had a woman colleague, we came out of an editorial board meeting once, and I spoke up, and, you know, they all looked at me like I had just, you know, like I had just defecated on the table because I didn't follow the company line. And she said to me, we're kind of upstairs once, she said, how is it you just keep saying these things? You know it's going to upset them. And I said, you know what? I may get another job, and I may need some modicum of integrity. I don't want to lose my soul just because I'm working here. So I did what I could. I did my 20. I actually talked to a senior editor just before I was retiring. And he said, how long have you been? I said, I've done 20. He said, my God, it sounds like you were in prison. I said, not too far from what my experience has been. So then I retired to Sacramento, and I figured I still want to work because I've got a lot of gas in the tank. I may be older, but I've got a lot of energy. So I felt I can get a gig up here. Thought I'd go to Sacramento State, and I did get over there in 2005, and I taught a couple of years, but then the journalism classes disappeared because it's no longer Woodward and Bernstein. In fact, today's kids have never heard of these guys. So I ended up seeing if I could go to work for the university and do some outreach and help promote the university. And I did that. And then I ended up getting that job at American River College. And that was in 09, and I've been there ever since. And then they hired me back at Sac State. They said they wanted me to come back in public affairs. And I then went to work for my good friend, Gloria Moraga, who tried to get me back and finally got me back in. And I came back, I believe it was in August of 2011. And I worked there until December of 2014. I was asked by a superior what I thought, and I told him, and that, of course, is a career ender. Well, she called me in, and she knew I wasn't happy, and so she wanted to know why. And I told her why. And I said, you know, I used to enjoy working here, but I said, this place, you know what it's like? It's like, guys who were in Vietnam and they have flashbacks. They don't want to be reminded of it. And it's kind of the way it was over there. My contract wasn't renewed in 2014, and it was fine. It was mutual because I didn't like working there anymore. So I've continued teaching. My advice to young people is learn how to communicate with each other, like face to face. I continually brag my students about smartphones. For example, when I'm teaching, they have to put those phones away. If I see one of those phones out there, I say that's a failing offense. Or if I'm showing a video or a film and I see the light of a phone somewhere, I am ready to wring their necks. I find it fascinating that we're living in an age where young people today they're addicts. If you look at studies that are being done right now, the amount of time you spend online looking at a screen is having an effect on their eyes, it's having an effect on the entire personality. I remember Sac State had a little workshop once where they had students all together in one room and they were texting each other. And that's what they were doing, texting. And I thought to myself, my God, don't people talk to each other anymore? Does anyone write a letter to anybody anymore? I know that sounds like geezerhood, but you know what? It is incredibly important to reach out and connect with other people. And I don't mean by Facebook or Instagram. I'm talking about one-to-one, actually calling somebody on the phone maybe, or seeing them in person and telling how glad you are to see them again, because Facebook doesn't cut it. I think Mark Zuckerberg is probably the devil. I think Mark Zuckerberg has done more. Not only did he help elect Donald Trump, but he has turned us into a nation of zombies. And I used to think it was just young people, but it's not. Older people have Facebook pages too, and they can't get enough of this crap.
So I take it you don't have a smartphone.
I have a dumb phone, and I show my students this. It's a flip-top black number. I can text on it, but I don't text. And I tell my students, I'm great at emailing. If they get in touch with me, I'll email them, and they're amazed that I'll get in touch. But I said, I don't text, and do I look like I tweet? You know. Hell no. No, no.
Everybody tweets, Alan. Stephen King tweets.
I know, but I'm old school, I guess, and proud of it. So I guess there's not much hope for me to. The 21st century I find to be irritating in a lot of different ways. I think the thing that scares me the most is when I'm driving on the freeway and I see those electronic signs that says, warning, it will cost you so much of a ticket if you're caught driving while texting. I keep reminding myself the day when I was driving on I-80 and damn near got killed by a woman who was under the influence of drugs and she was also under the influence of alcohol. She damn near killed me because she hit me and knocked me in the path of several cars. And that was before the texting warning. So now as I drive down the freeway, I keep thinking to myself, who's coming at me in the other direction, or who's coming on a two-lane road and they're texting while they're driving? I can't wait. You know, it's kind of like like that old Woody Allen movie where the kid talks about, I remember going, you know, sometimes I drive, you know, and I just close my eyes and I floor it and I keep driving. I keep thinking that's who's coming at me from the other direction.
Who was that actor? I know.
I don't.
It was Christopher Walken.
Oh my God. It was
Christopher Walken playing the crazy guy at Annie Hall.
He is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken, yeah, he's a master. He really is. And from all accounts, and I've talked to several people who've worked with him, he says he's such a nice guy, mm-hmm. but he always plays a weird character.
Yeah, I guess.
But then again, that's always fascinated me. You know, when you're cast as an actor and you're always playing the asshole, what does that do to your psyche? You know, the casting director, we're looking for an asshole. Oh, we'll call Miller. You know, he's perfect for that role.
You would be perfect.
When I was working in public affairs, every time I walk out front of Sag Hall, there was this young lady, severely disabled. She was in terrible shape, in a wheelchair, waiting for someone to pick her up. I'll never forget that. She had the most positive attitude. She was such a sweetheart, and I always made it a point to stop and chat with her, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, that could have been me. That state cop who came to check me out in the ER, you know what he said? You gotta be dead.
And I had a question for Alan then. How do you survive toxic people, toxic bosses, toxic coworkers?
You know how I got by? I outlived the bastards. That's what I did. No, I did. I had an editor who was an asshole. Then I got another editor who was a grade A asshole. He was an asshole on steroids. I worked for some people that I liked, but most of them I didn't like. I was kind of like Cool Hand Luke in that movie. You know, I'm like Paul Newman, you know. I'm shaking it, boss. I'm shaking it, you know. The standard joke was at the editorial page in San Diego. It was like Death Valley. It was like Devil's Island. You've seen the movie Papillon.
Yeah.
Okay.
They made it recently.
Yeah, and they did.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm sure. It never is as good.
No.
That's part of the problem.
Man.
Yeah.
Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman.
But you know, we always say, it, when I was working there, and they'd say, Jesus, you better watch your step. And I said, why? What are they going to do? Make me an editorial writer? I outlasted literally everybody. You know, I was there for 20. I did my 20. And there were times when, I had to grit my teeth. Like when we invaded Iraq and I ran and raved about that. And, you know, but I worked for the publisher. And when you work for a publisher, you know, and she was a billionaire and you reflect the views, you're a hired gun when you're an opinion writer. I am now coming up, the odometer is turning over to 80 come June. June 21st, I will turn 80, and I am looking to maybe apply for a full-time job at American River because I love teaching, and I still have a lot of energy. I'm good at what I do, and I'm not ready to play golf, and I don't play bridge. So frankly, I am very happy just being who I am and getting up every morning and enjoying what I'm doing, which is what I would recommend, because the worst thing you can do is be in a job you hate, and then once you leave, you're so grateful because you're not there anymore. And for those people who say, when they get to the end of their life, I said, I've never heard anyone say, gee, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. You should do what you like. Success in life is enjoying what you're doing. That's success. It's not how much money you make. It's do you really enjoy what you're doing? Well, there's this famous play, A Long Day's Journey into Night. You know, do not go gently into that good night. And I said, I believe in that. I believe age is relative. I have a stepbrother who was an old man at 30. Stereotyping is the worst thing in our society. We stereotype on the basis of ethnic, race, gender, and age. I teach a class called Race and Gender in the Media, but we also talk about age. And I said, old people are all the time stereotyped. And you cannot judge people as a group. It depends on who they are. And in my case, I will admit turning 80 is kind of spooky. When I was a kid, if I thought 80, I would think, oh my God, I'm ready for the boneyard. But you know what? I think I still got a lot of time left, you know? Let me put it this way. I took out a new 30-year mortgage and it's paid off when I turn 100. And I intend to be here and pay off that house. But I was very lucky. I've been a high school teacher, and I worked in a small town in Michigan, and I got to come to California. I always wanted to come to California.
Thanks, Alan.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
It was a pleasure.
I want to thank Joseph Garcia for the voiceover, and I want to thank Pons 5, who provide tons of royalty-free music. I'm Gloria Moraga. This is One-on-One, Communications in the Digital Age.